Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Awakening Truths with Make Up Your Power. This week, I have Betsy McHugh Gibson with me today. I'm very, very, very excited to have her in studio. Our theme this week will be... This is why I like to go live, guys, so you guys can see the little edits and the blip in the background. Debunking creative disguises. That's where I was starting this diary. See, guys, it happens. It makes it fun. Okay. See what I do the count to. Yes, we will be talking about debunking creative disguises. And you may be asking yourself, well, what it is, does that even mean? And it could be along, you know, self-imposed limitations or beliefs that you may have taken on from societal stereotypes or internalized fears that can prevent you from pursuing your creative passions. Betsy.
Yes, hi, Nicole.
So glad to have you in the studio. Just a quick little how we met was she is an incredible storytelling photographer, and I am her makeup artist, and we have worked the past few years together, and I've been able to really evolve under her mentorship in different ways when it's come to business and also in empowerment and self-actualization. So I thought it'd be great to have her on talking about something like this because I feel like it'd be right up her alley and what she's helped me with my own personal creative. In your everyday life, maybe in the past or present.
Definitely. I think when we start talking about this topic, it made me think of a lot of like old scripts. And just kind of, I think, maybe limiting beliefs that either I've grown up with, like, in my family or circle of people who I was around or society. These various things that I grew up with. I think being a creative, since I've always been a creative of some kind, a lot of those things have, like, have kind of held me back from having my finding my true voice for as long as it took. Because you kind of hear a lot of those voices in the back of your head, you know, and we're always trying to like kind of replace those with better ones, like our own.
Just like picking the weeds out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I think, yeah, just a lot of those, the ideas of, you know, even something as simple as like when I started off as a photographer, I very much thought of myself as like a technician. Like I was very, like, I held myself back in a lot of ways as far as even feeling, like, comfortable calling myself an artist because it felt like such a grand statement. And some of that is also, like, I mean, if we're being honest, like, some of it is also some of my religious upbringing, too. Oh, so, like, kind of the voice in my head, like, being, like, don't be boastful. Like, that's a little, that felt like boastful for me. Or, like, you don't need to talk about yourself that much. Like, dial it back a little.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So a lot of those voices to me, I think, ended up becoming some of those creative disguises because I wasn't kind of living into my full potential as far as like a creator.
So when you started kind of stepping, you know, one step at a time into becoming more creative, did you start, what did you kind of do to reframe that, that way of thinking or programming?
Yes. Well, I have spent a lot of time in professional therapy, which has been like incredibly helpful for me. Yes. Like kind of, I did do a lot of work in therapy, rewriting some of those scripts because they were really powerful and I recognized that they were really kind of holding me back. And I happened to end up with a therapist who kind of had acted like a business coach also. So I kind of had both of those things going on at the same time because she came from like a business background.
Awesome.
Which was fantastic. And it was really helpful for me because I can see, because I am my business.
Yeah.
Right. When you're an entrepreneur, like in the type of work that both of us kind of do, like you are your business is who you are.
Absolutely.
And then it gets in this weird mushy area. Right. So, she was incredibly helpful for me and like rewriting a lot of the scripts and reframing. And then other than that, I think I had never really, as a photographer, I had never really made I'm not going to say found the time. I was really didn't do a great job at creating the time to feed my creativity for myself. So I was always producing creativity for, you know, or channeling my creativity for my clients.
Yes.
And never really like doing an independent project for myself that would be like a passion project or something that can just like, you know, all those crazy ideas that are floating in the back of my head and getting them out without feeling the pressure of creating for someone else and like meeting their, you know, their needs, but really like feeding my soul and like being able to use that as a form of expression also, right. If that makes sense.
Kind of bringing them together.
Yeah.
So, because that's what my next question, thought that came to me as you were speaking was like how that plays now into with your clients, because, you know, through the programming and then going through that journey of trying to deprogramming or weeding out what no longer works in your garden, and then also flowering other people's gardens, how have you kind of seen the interchange of it, like the evolvement from, say, like the beginning to where you are now and still going to?
Mm. I actually really like the weeds in the garden. Yeah. Analogy is really good because that's very visual for me. I'm just like, clunk. I like the visual for sure. I think one of the biggest things that happened was like, you know a lot of my background story and stuff too, but when I went and spent some time traveling by myself and spending a lot of time with myself and working through like grief at that time, and when I took off on that trip, I had the intention to create, but I didn't know what I was even going to create. And I went and said I was going to do this. But it was terrifying also.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I had actually, like, I mean, I had faith in the fact that I was like, I know it'll come to me. Because
it's still a big set of balls, though. They're just, you know, like, I know I'm going to create, but we're going. And I'm going it alone. But at the same time, as scary as that is, how profound that is that you did that for yourself. You know, because of what you may speak of continuing.
Yeah. Because where this is going, right? So I think at that point, like coming back to the personal projects and working on things that like just being able to use my takes for myself and like that being enough without having like, when we create art for other people, we're also like, sometimes it's easy to tie our worth to somebody else's reception of it, okay, or willingness to pay for it, or whatever the equation might be in your head.
Like the value system?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like it has a different kind of value. And it kind of comes back to like, okay, well, I'm also enough to create for.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Or to express from that space.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went and traveling, I started up a Kickstarter and everything for this. And I'm like, I'm going to be creating art. And like all these wonderful people who believed in me and they put their faith in me. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to create. Yeah, but I know it'll come.
Oh, that's incredible. I did not know that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I'm so grateful for all these people that believed in me because, you know, when people believe in us, sometimes that's enough for us to actually start seeing like, okay, maybe there's something to that, you know?
Yeah, and quieting those kind of negative ones or voices because you're like, well, these people are seeing more light. Let me focus more here because that way is not functioning for me. It's not functional. But
right,
yeah,
and there's also other people who are going like, that's the craziest thing you've ever done. Like, what are you doing?
Right. And then others are like, I am in.
And you're like, I know it's crazy, but go for it. Like, so in that space, when I was going to go create, even though people were part of this Kickstarter, they didn't have certain expectations. They were like, you create whatever you're going to create. And we're going to get our choice from it. Like, we want to see what we come up with. And so I just wandered around and like, that's really where I was using it because I was going through this deep period of grief and reinventing myself. I started to find that I was, and other people pointed it out before I figured it out, which is always interesting.
It happens often.
It happens often. Yes. I have had this happen many, many times in my life, especially with my art. And people start saying like, oh, I can see like, oh, do you have any idea like what you're taking, like what you're showing us right now? And then like, what the people were pointing out to me, like this transition that they were seeing of like, you're coming out of that and like starting to see more light and like the types of things that I would choose to shoot. like
I'm getting visuals of your work through my mind right now, and yeah, it's pretty interesting because in a way, not to interrupt, but from working with you and seeing how you are with the clients and the amazing photos that come out, I can see that kind of transfer into that work. Because you do, you can, it's like you almost like you get into the dark depths of it. And then there's a light, like I can so see that it just flipped, because even in photos that she's done for me, thank the Lord, at different times of my journey, they're the black and whites. They tell a lot. They tell a lot of emotion, and the color could be more vibrant and happy and exciting. But like the darker kind of more mysterious, it kind of makes you vulnerable when you see it. And that's kind of what I just wanted to add to her work, that as a spectator or somebody on the outside looking in, that's kind of where it pulls me, and how beautiful that transmuting the pain into power, as she did by giving herself the room and the space to kind of find her way back, and community like people believing in her creativity and her as a human being to want to, you know, support her in that without needing to give all the details, which can be overwhelming if you're like, well, I don't know what's going to happen here. Yeah. But thank you for this support, because now I feel like I can fly a little bit. And that's what's really great, because those creative disguises can really kind of trump us, but end up being such a masterpiece at the same. And that's how you're.
Thank you.
I get lost in your mind because I see them like slides. It's very. And I will be adding, we'll talk about this. We'll have her links that you guys can always check her work out and see for yourselves. The work is all types. It's you share actually that little bit real quick, I guess, because it's so widespread, but it's still so storytelling.
Thank you. I love that you always use the word storytelling, because that's like, that was what made me fall in love with photography from the beginning. Was always like my storytelling, or my love for photography is based in storytelling, and that's based in my curiosity about people and the world.
Like, and you everything see a beautiful perspective.
Thank you.
You really do. But like in the darkest, you're not one to just be like, no, we're going to act like everything's great. It's like, no, listen, there's beauty in that darkness. And here's how you could see that.
Well, and I think what came out of that period and creating art for myself was, first of all, I was using my art to express what I was actually feeling, which was like, sometimes I get some of that stuff. It's a little like, ooh, okay.
She went there.
Yeah. I mean, but I wasn't even necessarily completely aware of that. It just kind of became an extension of what was going on, processing. And I think like what I started to hear from people who were following my work and seeing that transition aligns with what I started to feel myself, which is like, oh, like I can find lightness in the darkness. Like they don't mutually like or exclusively exist. Like they can coexist.
Yes.
But, and I think when you talk about like how that transfers in my work, I have brought a lot of what I experienced in that period of time. And what, I call my art my salvation from that.
Yeah. It's like you went away to like a school, but I don't even want to down it by saying that, like a life school journey, and you just came back, and instead of just being like, I'm going to keep all this to myself, you instead were like, I'm going to try to help support and uplift everybody around me because of how this kind of cured me. And that's really what's beautiful about being a creative and using your passion to create, you know, just create, is because that is how you can work through the pain that is unescapable. But when you do work through that, the journey through that, no matter how difficult, is all inspiring and beautiful when you can share it, you know. And some people, unfortunately, they hold back and they don't want to share that. And you're the storyteller that is like reaching, like, no, your story is just as valuable. It matters just as much. And that's why creative expression is so important, I feel, to really tap into. But when you mentioned, even though I don't know yet, thank you for funding me to go over there. There's that kind of societal thing of, if you were to do your creative passion, well, there's no money in it. So when you had said that, that kind of went through my mind of like, okay, because I can see where the value is kind of hard because you just love to do what you do. You're not trying to put a dollar amount, but at the same time, loving what you do also may have to, you know, pay for your life at the same time. Right. You know?
Well, yeah. And even, honestly, I didn't think of that idea of doing the Kickstarter or anything. I had friends who were like, you need to do this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'm forever grateful for my friends who like supported me and like, he helped me like kind of like come up with different ways to come at things because I was like, no way, I'm not doing that.
Right. But you still stayed open. You still stayed open to hearing all different perspectives.
I'm like,
all
right. And that we could talk about that whole thing for that could be a whole nother conversation. But I think like really what's come into my work when you talk about my black and white work, that to me is always that representation of like with my fascination with where the light falls into the darkness and the darkness merges into the light, like that point of tension. And I think
it really is giving me chills. Beautiful.
And so like when a lot of the stuff that I shoot, like I'm curious about that space. And I think because, I mean, I think there's also a whole thing with like, you know, the tortured artist and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I don't need to suffer to create art, but I just happen to have suffered to create an art.
Right.
Right. But I don't want to live in that space all the time. Like, I don't think it's necessary for me.
Right.
I'd rather be like emerging out of the darkness into the light, you know?
Yeah. Like that's my phoenix rising.
Yeah.
The phoenix rising moment. Yeah.
But the fact that I can, as I call, hang in the weird space. I like weird space too, but I can hang in that. I can hold that space for people.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you've seen some of my work where I think of, I have a fabulous widow client and we did this like creative session where she wanted to go all those places. And I was like, I will hold that space for you. Like, I know like from my own experience what that feels like. And your story is different than my story, but I can, generally speaking, I can hold that space for you.
Yes.
And we'll go there. Like,
and we'll go together. Let's
yeah.
Go.
Like I'm not going to take you there and leave you there alone. Like, we're going to be in that space together.
So have you ever thought that maybe, oh, this is so beautiful, that your clients come in and you're talking about the black and then it, you know, blurring into the light, the white, that's kind of like the dark night of the soul, pulling themselves out of the ashes, like that phoenix rising moment, that maybe that's what you do.
Interesting.
For your clients, that they're able to pull that, you're able to pull that darkness in at least, because in a way, wouldn't they have to still be kind of carrying some kind of, for it to really show in the photo like you're wanting it to?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say like, it's not like I come into it like we're not.
Yeah, I'm not verbing it.
I get what you're saying though. Yeah. And I think there is, for certain clients, you know, like, again, I'm not cookie cutter. So like every time somebody comes in, I'm more interested in their story.
But that's what's good though, because everybody gets their own experience that way.
True.
Yeah.
True. Like that's important to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very important to me. But that again comes back to like, I mean, if I were to write, you know, well, I have written mission statements for myself, but I mean, like, if we're talking about my mission statement and stuff, like, that is, like, I don't want to impose my story on you or, like, my assumptions about you on you. Like, I'm more interested in you sharing with me.
Right.
So that I can show you what it is that you need to see.
Right. That, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Lifting of the distortion.
Yes.
In a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which we all, you know, can have where we can be much harder on ourselves or take a lot longer to see our potentials. But you can be around people like Betsy mentioned with her friends or like I mentioned with her and various people as well, like my husband and stuff. When you're around certain people that are willing to pull that up, it's like embracing yourself in such a beautiful way that whatever may have been a skeleton or a bone or shame or pain, it has a different understanding. And you know what I mean? There might be a different perspective or more life brought to that scenario, because I don't know about you, but there's many times that I didn't think I could survive something. And then I did. And it's like, not that I want that stuff to keep happening.
Right.
But as it has, how much more you kind of evolve and how much more wisdom you have gained to also then share. Because have you ever noticed, like, a lot of the people, they have heartfelt stories and they're incredible and they walk through that door every time. And I can't tell you how many times I get emotional when her clients just walk through that door, because that means that any little blip of voices that were programming in their mind weren't louder than theirs because they walked through that door. And that's the journey, guys, is really that self-actualization and understanding of who you are and what it is that gives you these feelings that can also in turn help the world around you, and which will be drawn to your art, right?
Yeah.
Your passions in a way.
Well, and like when I love you said, like, kind of stepping through that door. And to me, it's like kind of stepping over a threshold. Cause
absolutely.
Like, that is like, it's like, oh, you got over that speed bump. Like, that was a big one. That was a big mountain to get over.
Yeah.
Like, you showed up. Like, that's half a mile right there. And yeah.
It gives me full body chills because it's so true. Because as women or anybody really, we can want so much for everybody else. But when it comes to us, there's always like the trump card, like, nope, nope. And now what we're seeing more and more is we're saying yes to ourselves and more yeses to ourselves and saying no, that is a boundary for ourselves and standing in that, which is in turn going to help you in being able to step more into your creative and understanding it, because you're not going to be surrounded by anything and everything that's going to, you're going to pretty much receive what you're putting out. So if you're saying that I'm not very good at what I do or saying negative things, and you're going to draw those people around you and in your environment. So if you just start saying, you know what, I'm just going to give myself some time and I'm just going to look at it from a different perspective, you'll start seeing that come around you. And those are kinds of like synchronicities that happen that just link one step at a time. And then slowly but surely those steps end up getting you through the threshold, whatever that looks like, whether that is, I don't know, I just want you to get your story told.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the best way to do it that I've seen, because I work with various photographers and they have various ways that they shoot and there's different depths in which they go. And for me, when it's come to Betsy's work, it's always like gotten real, real, real dark and deep in such a way that is exposed by such a beautiful light that it can't be hidden anymore. That makes sense?
Yeah. Well, because shame thrives in the shadows, right?
Oh, it doesn't. It tries to.
Yeah, sure does. And, you know, I have worked with numerous clients who like are trying to overcome like shame about sex and their sexuality and their sensuality, or, you know, their relationship with their body or the shame about their body or any of these things that we're rewriting those. It's like kind of, for some people, it's like the first step in rewriting those scripts.
Absolutely.
And leaving those, you know, those other voices a little bit further in the background and like just repositioning their mindset on any of those things being shameful or that they need to get in.
Right. And that comes a lot from upbringing. Lynn, you mentioned like religion, and that also too can play into how we view our bodies, mm-hmm. like growing up and not sexualizing yourself or touching yourself or, you know, hiding yourself, but it was okay if you were kind of sexualized.
Right.
And it's like, now we're at a point where we're like, well, how does that make sense? Why is the control in your court? And I think that a lot of us came to a point over the past few years, a lot of feminists out there where they're like, no, I'm going to write my story. And spaces were created. And I feel like because of that, and a lot of women, people, you know, stepping into their creative passions, it kind of just glued together in a way that I feel like really showed a very powerful movement in time for a lot of women.
Right.
I feel like we really like just jumped in there and it was like, we got to figure ourselves out in order to be anything to anybody else. And there's still going to be pieces that you're going to be peeling along the way. you know, that are kind of like, ooh, no, we're going to fix that up a little bit. But the resources will be out there and you will have the support there for you. It's just a matter of taking the step. And it's up to you. There's no wrong way. You know, if you're more comfortable staying here, then that's fine. If not, and you want to go over here, then that's fine as well. My only thing is that there's always a choice. And I always say on the other side of fear ends up being everything that you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Well, and it isn't always linear either. Like there, it's a practice, right? Like,
yes.
I constantly work rewriting those, replacing those books.
Daily.
Yeah. Like, well, and it's like that emotional awareness or something, mm-hmm. or like, you know, that just like, okay, like, oh, wait, where did that, that's not my fault. I don't need to think that. Like, where did that come from?
That's not productive.
That's not, like,
yep.
I don't want to think that. That's somebody else. Like, and then you start backtracking and realizing where that came from.
It's beautiful that you got to that point, though. You know, me personally, there's a lot of years that I wasn't able to be like, hey, I don't like that. Listen, girl, listen, Shigo, I don't like how you're talking to me. Mm-hmm.
The mean girl voice.
Yeah. But it's so great how you say that, because at a beautiful stage of looking at it, introspectively, even, it's kind of like you call it out. It can't have power over you anymore.
Right.
Because in that moment, when something is said out loud, choices are now given, is how in my perspective, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not that different than what you were talking about with somebody walking into the space and showing up for a garage session and claiming their, like, I always use this phrase with my clients, which is like, okay, you know what? Like right now we're planting that flag in the ground and honoring like where you are right now.
Yep.
Okay. Like you can give yourself some grace about what's happened in the past and you don't need to beat yourself about that. And like today we're planting a flag in the ground for like marking where we are right now and honoring that. And then we get to move the needle forward a little bit on where we want to go.
It releases so much pressure.
Yeah.
You allow them, you allow people a place to be present. And a lot of times that doesn't happen, because in a lot of interactions, it could always be, you must respond now kind of a thing, you know, like, no, I want an answer now kind of a world that we live in. So to be able to give that space of like, okay, I know coming into it, you're like, we're going to hit it all the way. We're going to go maybe like say full nude, full extreme, even though I'm scared, I'm just going to do it. But if you come in and you're hearing, I'm just right where you're at, because in your head, you'd be backpedaling and getting nervous,
oh, yeah.
Getting all like, oh, I'm over-delivered.
Yeah.
I'm underperform. It's not about that. It's just the point of just allowing that communication, that space to be able to just know that the past is already behind you. Now is a moment that you have. And the future plays a lot of vision based on what your thought practice is going to be. And regularly, there's going to be things that come up. It can be just as easily as like, yeah, I could have healed trauma or whatever, but then something one day just kind of off, and it's okay to be kind of, you know, give yourself grace if those moments kind of happen. And if you say that you can do something, then you get to it and you kind of feel like maybe you can, or it's not the right time. Just communicate that, you know?
Well, your voice is the most important thing you can utilize, right? Because I have clients come in and they will mark every box on the questionnaire. And then when we actually start talking or I start reading their body language, and I'm like, okay, we're going to check back in on that, because I'm not sure that's where you're at today.
Yep.
I'm not going to take you to a place that's not safe for you. Like, that's mentally.
And that's important, creating safe space.
Mentally, emotionally, physically, all those things, right? So, yeah, like, it is always about, like, where are we at right now? Like, that's the most important thing. And honestly, like, just being is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because we deal with all the other things every other day of the year.
Right.
Like, we don't have to perform. We don't have to execute something perfectly, you know what I mean? Like all of these things, that all these expectations and all this pressure that we put on ourselves, like just to live from one breath to the next and just be and feel and mm-hmm. just be in your body and just, that's what it always feels like.
I was just about to do it.
Honestly, just to like allow yourself to be is almost a luxury, I think.
And in society, with how loud society and is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how you said, like, just being in that moment, the amount of pressure that comes off, just showing up for yourself at all is better than just kind of like, I'm failing or I'm not doing enough, or because I'm sitting here and I'm having a moment, does that mean that I'm going to not succeed in what I'm trying to do because I'm doing it? And it's like, there's got to be a balance. And, you know, just because one way was told that working nonstop and drilling yourself and all those things, if it doesn't resonate with you, it's okay to step back and recalibrate and kind of see what will work with you. So that way, when you do create, you're creating more from yourself and for yourself, because there will always be an audience that will be drawn to your creative passion, pursuit, what have you. And now is the time to do so. And connecting with yourself, getting grounded outside, you know, really kind of understanding what your intuition or what like your inner gut is, your inner knowing, is very, very important, because that'll speak also much louder than the she-go can.
Well, and yeah, really getting in touch with when we start replacing some of those other voices that are loud in our head, then all of that comes back to foundation in yourself, right? And that's where we like kind of build that trust in our gut, and like we listen to our own voice, and like our gut is really powerful. Like our gut is our intuition, right?
Yeah.
And it gets, you know, to say that we trust our gut is like just kind of this like a little bit of a flippant kind of reference that we've all been taught, right? Like,
I like how she said taught, because we know better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that is our intuition.
Yes.
And whatever you want to call it. I mean, honestly, like, so when I came back from all that traveling by myself, I mean, I traveled by myself solo for once.
So many times.
And I learned a lot about myself. But I did, this comes back to what you were just talking about. I had this practice because I would just go out and wander around the city for like 14 hours a day and just take photos of whatever I came across, whatever I felt like might inspire me or whatever I was curious about. I call it chasing the white rabbit. So I like get up to a corner and I had no plan. Like I get up to a corner, I'm like, okay, right now, what do I feel? Right, left, forward. And I just follow winning wheels. And so just like that constant reinforcement of like trusting what my gut was saying. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back and I told one of my friends about it, and they're very religious, she's like, oh, well, I would call that the Holy Spirit. I was like, that's cool. Like that, if that's your, the way that you read it, and that's what that feels like to you, that's great. Like, to me, I needed to trust that I had that.
Yes. Yes.
In and of myself. And that I didn't have to rely on anyone else. But that's where I was right now. You know, like.
Yeah, under that's something that went in, though.
Yeah. But that was like, I had to find that foundation in myself where I knew I got it.
Yes.
I know I got this.
No tricksters are going to. I heard this from Brene Brown, and I wish I would have written this down because I've been wanting to say it again. But I loved how she said something like, if you want to debate what I have to say, we can have a debate. But she said something like, you will not have my inner peace. I've worked too hard to get to that place. I know who I am. I know what, you know, blah, 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 blah. I just don't know the verbatim of what the rest was that she said. But I really, really loved it because it's really important because I don't know, the way that things have always been, it's always been seeking outside of yourself. Yeah. And it's like, well, why are we created so unique and different from another if we're supposed to seek outside? Because if we're doing that, then that means that we're trying to compare ourselves, are we not? Is kind of how I would view that. And when you can't compare, then it becomes confusing because you're like, is there something wrong with me? Does that mean that I'm not? And it creates all these things. So being able to, it could have been just as easily for you to just not leave and kind of just throw yourself maybe into whatever and avoid kind of facing yourself in that time in a way, you know, in an aspect.
I was going to have to do the work no matter what.
Right. Right.
That and that's exactly unavoidable at that time.
But that's really something true and beautiful to say to that is like, facing yourself is the most freeing thing that can happen because we have no control over anybody else's perspectives. No matter what you do in this world, you will probably be a villain in somebody's story. You will probably be a victim in somebody's story. You will probably be a hero in somebody's story. So focus less on that and be your own hero and do what works best for you that feels right. If there's something that you do that you may feel, you know, didn't show my best self there, okay, dial it back and communicate it and work it through rather than pushing forward or throwing it into the back, because that will come back. And yeah. It will usually come back in a person or a situation. And it just kind of like a different person, but like a similar situation, you know? And sometimes it can get harder and harder. And in all reality, all it's trying to do is give you what you want, but you have to learn so that way you're on a strong foundation. That's what the intuition and that inner knowing I feel is so important, because that is something that's unshakable. And from what we've seen or experienced in our lives is that when we seek outside of ourselves, we're always let down.
Yeah. No matter what that is, like whatever form that comes up,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it can come all kinds of different shapes. And I think like being able to, when you said like you were kind of talking about like being on that path and stuff, and just like sometimes like I think one of the most important things that I learned during that too was like learning to embrace change,
mm-hmm.
and being able to pivot.
Yeah, like, your own comfort.
Yeah, like constantly pivoting. And that's a muscle. That's just like anything else. You can build up that resilience,
mm-hmm.
and that flexibility, because we all know the one thing that's certain in life, and that was change.
Absolutely. Well, you can't grow unless things, yeah. So you're pivoting, and being able to pivot through your life experience shows in your work too. You know, like what you said, I get you. We're going to take you where you're at right in this moment. You see what I'm saying in that comparison? So it's really kind of beautiful how much your creative passion and who you are as a person, like you said in the beginning, my business is me, right? And it's like, it really has rained true throughout our entire conversation of how just, again, being the spectator and stuff, and through knowing her for a while, seeing her speak and then kind of seeing that together, it really is in unison. And that is really what we really want to obtain as an individual, right? Is to know that we're tapping naturally into our creative passion while still owning and respecting ourselves.
Well, and not trying to be anybody other than who, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not trying to be someone else.
Right.
I mean, there's one thing to like say, like we're growing towards, that's different. We're trying to, you know, sometimes in that process of finding our voice, and I will definitely say, I mean, I've been a photographer, a professional photographer for 20 years, like next year will be 20 years. Which is crazy. But I think about
20.
Huh? You
have to do a 20.
I know. I am going to have to do something for that for sure.
Sorry, I get excited.
You know, that in those early days, I mean, I've invented my business 3 times.
Right? Reinvented.
Yeah. For different things that were going on, you know, with like a transition from like, you know, moving from weddings and having my husband and business partner and that changing, and then moving into my own thing, and then doing kind of, you know, a different branding, and then moving into boudoir, and then moving across the country. Like, these are constant, and every time you go through that, or I've been through that, I don't speak for anybody else.
I get what you're saying. You're evolving each time.
You have to kind of go on that deep dive about, like, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? Share, like, what is it that I'm bringing to other people? What am I giving to other people? And like, what do I want to be doing? And what is important to me? And what are my values? And what is driving me
at the various stages you're saying when you're mm-hmm. reinventing? Yeah, yep. And yeah. Those evolve, and you want them to evolve,
right? And I think, like, when I first started off, like, because I was a wedding photographer for a dozen years, when I first started off there,
that's crazy to think about.
I just,
Because of how I see you shoot, it's like, yeah, that's crazy.
I worked very, very hard this wedding.
I bet. I believe that.
My knees are paying the price. But that, like, when I was first in that, like, knowing that I had a passion for photography and the storytelling, but just trying to find my way there
mm-hmm.
to what my actual voice was, it's so easy when we start off something that we're passionate about because somebody else has inspired us.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so we tend to like kind of like mimic other things that we've seen because we're inspired by them.
Right.
And they become like, then we kind of collect little pieces here and there,
yes,
here and there, and here and there. And then it becomes this big, messy mishmash of stuff that you're like, wake up one morning and you're like,
I had to pick this apart.
Damn it. You know, like, you're like, wait, what am I doing here? Like, what, I can't even, like, there's no cohesiveness to anything here because it's not actually representing who I am. And so I think when I, like, even in that process with wedding photography and then, like, boldly going for, like, you know what, I'm going to go, like, I love black and white. I'm going to go heavy into that. I really want to just really focus on showing people that I am a documentarian,
mm-hmm,
and really stick to the photojournalism and like, yeah, sure, we shoot that other stuff, but like, this is what I want people to come to me for.
Oh, this,
that's
is,
the stuff that fires
oh
me.
It's your soul. Like you can feel it. Like there's an energy to it.
Like that's the stuff that like, I get hungry to wake up in the morning,
mm-hmm,
and capture that stuff. Like that's what like fires me up. I love all those in between moments and those things that you don't even know. You, there's no way that you would ever see that about yourself.
Right.
Right. Like those are the things that I'm going to be like, for, you know?
Yes.
And so when I finally did that, when I was in wedding photography, like that, like it was a really scary move because it was so different.
Oh yeah.
From what everybody else was doing around us at the time. And that was like kind of stepping into that, like, okay, releasing that old script,
mm-hmm,
about like, oh, well, if you're going to be a wedding photographer, you have to do X, Y, Z. And like, how dare you not show family portraits on your website? I'm like, well, I don't want somebody to hire me because I do a great family portrait at a wedding.
Is it going
to
be a set?
Like, right. Like there was always this like conversation about like, oh, it's got to be X, Y, Z. It's got to,
mm-hmm,
be this recipe. And those become things that like hold you back because you feel like if you want to do things differently and step into like actually what your voice is, it feels like you're standing out on the ledge, you know,
butt naked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I kind of experienced the same thing when I got into boudoir. It's like, because I was in something new, which was really weird. When I did the personal branding photography and the life documentary stuff, like that was still kind of, I felt like in alignment with where I'd been. When I stepped into the boudoir stuff, once again, another weird moment that I had a potential client call me up and like, I want to do a boudoir session. You're my person. I was like, I have like no boudoir on my photography.
Synchronicity. Those are the things to pay attention to, though.
Because
they'll come to you.
It's happened many times in my business. And I always listen to my clients when they tell me something about myself. I'm like, you are obviously saying something that I can't see.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And you like my work. So I'm going to like, go on, tell me more.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I don't have anything to show you really, except some photos I took in a workshop like 10 years ago or something. And she's like, no, I know you're my person. I saw it in your work and you're my person. Are you willing to try it? And I was like, all right, let's try this. Sure. And I was like, completely fell in love with it. But then I was like, okay, I want to do this. And I did a really great job, but can I consistently create that, you know,
right?
Because it was completely different than everything that I had done so far in my photography career. Although my one friend was telling me, she's like, no, it's not because you've been photographing women for, you've been photographing brides for years and years and years and years. Right. But I was like, yeah, they have all their clothes on.
But it's still stories.
But it's still stories. Right.
Yeah.
So I had a really hard time in the beginning of boudoir because I felt like it took me right back to that place that I was when I started with wedding photography. And I was like, feeling like I'm in the sea of like, well, people are expecting this. But I don't want to do that. I want to do something kind of mixed up and different and maybe a little bit like people might think it's weird or they're not going to accept it or nobody's going to hire me to do that.
Something outside of the norm. So you're kind of playing in like an empty field, which is kind of exciting in a way because you're kind
mm-hmm.
of creating that own space. But as a creative, aren't you meant to?
Absolutely.
And that's
but it's still scary.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. But I mean like in a societal way though, that's kind of, that uniqueness is important because that's what helps you kind of stand out because you're still doing this. Man, it's so crazy to me that she did weddings the way she did, but she was still storytelling. So did any of them, would they get like the black and whites or were you kind of restricted in that as well?
Oh no. Like once I found like the more that you put, you know, you show what you want to shoot, right? It's kind of the philosophy. It's like, show what you want to do. Like your people will, it may take time, but your people will find you.
Right.
Like, and if you're consistent about it, like the best thing that you do is just create and create some more, you know, because you're not only, you're kind of reinforcing it to yourself and then showing everybody that this is what you did.
Kind of building up that self-esteem.
Right. So yeah, it is challenging though, to be in that space where you're like, I don't know if anybody's going to like what I'm doing. I mean, as an artist, there's always this conflict anyways, because it's like, well, I should just, you know, I want to just create to create, but you know, I've also chosen to do this as a career.
Yes.
For a very long time.
So it's very hard to not have the, got to make sure that it's knowing the audience at the same time, but still staying true to yourself. But it can be hard and challenging if you're like, I just put up my best stuff right there. I you get excited. Not like, I want a bunch of people to buy. It's not like that. It's more like you're excited for people to see it and share in the love that you just had in that creative passion. So if they like get a heart or say, oh, that's beautiful or something like that, it really is like, that is value. Like to me, I think any creative, but at the same time, when we just got to get back to the barter system, but with the fact of doing it for your life and everything else, she's right in the to keep it going. Cause in being able to be a co-creator of your world, the more you're putting into it, the more you're kind of speaking to, you know, like yourself or the universe or whatever it is, you know, that you speak with, that you want more of it. Right. Just like in the opposite, if you were to just kind of like sit there and bah humbug it, then that might be what would happen as well. But the hard part is that when you get that going, what do you do when you feel like you're like you ran it too hard and you might have put too much out, or that little kind of blip comes in like, oh, you're not seeing kind of what you want on the other side. So you kind of dial back or you kind of try to, because for myself,
there's a lot of push and pull. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but not like throwing up and then like you're out of it for a bit. Like, what I mean? Like, the putting everything out because you're so excited, and it's like you don't have to rush. I get that there's the excitement, and that's where, for me as a creative, that's where that can become a frustration. Possibly, you know, you guys have had that experience as well, where that excitement, absolutely, but that excitement can be to a core group, and then maybe for the rest, just tell them your story a little bit at a time. Because what I'm learning is when you're telling too much of a story at once, it can kind of start to get blurred and skewed and not able to be retained as well, like with your creative story. You know what I mean? So if you're putting every aspect of yourself out there and people are kind of like on page one, but you just gave them 752 of them, they might not even want to, you know, open the book any further.
Right.
You know, but like your close people, those are the ones that you dump all that on. And that might also help in your creative comfort.
Yeah. You know what? In regards to that, like, I think, finding your people, right. And that when I'm saying that, I'm not just talking about like clients. I'm also talking about your community, your tribe, or I have,
like-minded.
Yeah. Like-minded people who are going to be there. Like, you know, I think about like when I went on that trip and like, I have a good friend who I called and I'm like, hey, so I'm thinking about doing this. Is this totally crazy? And he's like, yeah, it's totally crazy, but yeah, you should do it. It's like, I want that person in my
life. Yes, that's good. Yeah.
And I used to have a group, and I have like this still, just a different version of it now. Call it like kind of my exec board. Like, okay. Like these are people who like in different, like help me kind of get out of my head in different aspects of my business. Right. Like, doesn't have to be one person. We have different people that we draw on for like sounding boards for different things. And then of course you return the
I started return it. Cartoon movies, like where everybody has like a piece of themselves, like the friend, you know what I mean? Like you have the friend that'll tell the truth. You'll have the one that's like, it's always going to be okay. Or you'll have the negative one. You know how they say like that. That's what I was thinking when you were saying that, like, cause that is true. I call mine the round table.
Same kind of thing though. Yeah. And whether that's like, however you come at that, like if that's like different aspect, okay, like this is my like financial guru, like, or this is like my person who's like, oh, they know how to like treat people really nicely or whatever the thing is, you know, everybody's life and
everybody's got a niche.
Everybody's got a different thing.
Yeah.
But, I think like having those people that you know, that you can like, you can just blow their mind with something like ridiculous, and they're going to judge you, and they're going to listen to you, and they're going to give you some feedback. Also, not both sunshine and feedback.
So they allow you to be you.
Yeah, exactly, and that really is what it comes down to, right? Like, I mean, I think as I get, I don't know, as I get older or made my life experiences, I'm not sure which one or a combination of the two, but I'm like, I just really want to surround myself with more and more people who accept me for who I am.
Yes.
And I don't have to put on these disguises or edit myself or feel like I have to shrink myself. Mm-hmm. I've spent way too much of my life doing that. I am not interested in anymore.
I hear that.
This really started to happen, I think, for me over the past 10 years, but like definitely over the past 7, and like most definitely, I don't know, probably since COVID, like I'm like, I'm sorry. So, like just that, just completely like working towards like, okay, like let's be aware of like what happens when we see like what kind of person are we when we're around certain people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has that changed, or are we still staying true to ourselves, you know?
Put your give a fucks and no fucks out on the table and find out too.
Oh, see, I didn't know we got to curse. I would have talked.
Yeah, well, that was my way of letting you know, because you quietly said it right there. And I was like, I'm going to let her know if she can. We did.
I thought it was such good behavior.
I know. I was surprised, too, that there was a custom. No, this is an uncensored, unscripted podcast. So that way it stays live. It stays real. It stays community. And exactly what she said is exactly what we're trying to create here, is that, you know, you're not going to be for everybody. Everybody's not going to be for you, but it's okay. Everybody can come in for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. But always know that there are going to be people there, and that there are going to also be people there that might be in the other direction. Those people, it's okay, whether they're friends, family, or what have you, if you need to just step back. I'm not saying like burn their house down, but maybe in respecting your boundaries for yourself, just kind of keep them at bay or know what to share with them. The biggest thing for me is not everybody can you share everything with, because some people will use that against you, like, or use it over you, or just in a way that's not constructive or conducive.
Like kind of weaponize it almost.
Weaponize.
Yeah.
And society has weaponized everything for long enough. And hopefully this space will show that we don't need to weaponize anything that we've experienced, because we all can relate more than we know. Even if our stories are different, the pains or the trials or the evolution that happens from those things can be something that we can relate, you know, mm-hmm. what we take from it, what we want to do for others with it, or for ourselves as in the same time, you know, because you got to do for you to do for others.
But. Absolutely. Well, and I think I was going to mention two things that my therapist shared with me that have really stuck with me, helped with some of that too. And one is like, first of all, not everybody has earned their story.
I remember.
I told you this.
I love that you shared that with me though, because you told me at a moment that I really needed to know that. So
not everybody deserves to know that story. Like,
yes, thank you, therapist, because she has really given me some really great nuggets. So who you see has done really, really well by you, which is a beautiful thing, because a lot of people can even try to weaponize, you know, therapy and stuff like that. And it's like, we need people to be able to speak to, you know, it's okay. Because I know right now when it comes down to it, there is nothing that anybody's going to hold over me that I didn't hit myself with long enough to where now anything and everything that I've experienced can in one way or another help other people or evolve me into who I am today. It can happen all over again. I mean, I don't necessarily want it to, but right. I like where we headed with that, because it's so true. We spend a lot of our lives giving so much power to what we're told of a way to be, that it really kind of, it's a beautiful journey back to yourself, but it's really a lot of time that can be spent living somebody else's dream and less living yours, you know? So with that being said, in closing, is there any nuggets that you have? Or I was thinking that maybe what you had said was really good when you were talking about not everybody deserves to hear your story or know your story.
Oh, yeah. I think in regards to finding your people, in those places where you can be yourself, and then really working on that, like letting go of that fear of failure, because failure is not necessarily a bad thing.
Every lesson leads to a blessing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think when you do find those people, then that becomes that place where you can, I mean, I have that now within like my mentor who I work with, Denise, right? And my stripped down community. That has been a place that has celebrated what I call my like weird self. Like that has been a safe place for me to express and to push myself and have other people encouraging me in that regard. And that's where I've let go a lot of my like, I mean, I still struggle with it because all this stuff is a personal practice all the time, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
But it's really helped me make strides on like letting go of that fear of failure and the letting go of perfectionism, mm-hmm. because that's really just like, these are all like, they all come back to like, you know, those creative disguises, yeah. and expectations and old scripts and all that stuff really kind of all comes full circle.
Yeah, because the perfectionism is, it ends up setting yourself up for failure,
right?
In a way, because, you know, even if you don't have all the steps or know everything, if there's something that you're naturally drawn to or enjoy or see yourself doing, no matter what that may be, put a little bit into it. Just do it a little bit more daily, or find like-minded groups or individuals that may do similar and just connect. Resources, you know, that's the important part about community, is that be yourself, absolutely share your creative passion because you're uniquely you for a purpose, but also know that there are resources and people that you can kind of connect with that can help you as you're leveling up to be successful, you know, that may have things that they learned along the way that can help you and vice versa. And that can't happen unless we're vulnerable with where we've been to be able to understand where we are now. So if we can kind of share that more for people and provide that space, then I feel like we're winning, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We're raising our value system. Well, thank you guys for coming out. I appreciate you. You can catch the replay on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify. There's quite a few different areas that you can catch this playback on. And we will be back next Wednesday for another hour. Betsy, did you want to say anything, sir?
Oh, no. I just want to say thank you for having me and interesting conversation.
I love her so good. I just try to remember the closing part that I was like, oh, my goodness, Betsy.
All good.
I will put all of her information in the description, too, so that way you guys can check out her beautiful work as well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And this always takes me a minute.